Good morning, everyone. You know, I was listening to a podcast this week, and the people in the podcast said, it was a podcast for pastors and church ministry, and it said, hey, we want to just give you some advice. If you're pastoring, you should never, ever, like, put 3 minutes on the clock and have people greet each other for 3 minutes. If you're just doing that, we would just encourage you to stop. And I said to myself, we've been doing that for like ever. They're like, visitors are so uncomfortable with those 3 minutes. So let me just say this. If you're uncomfortable, if you're visiting us and you're uncomfortable with that 3 minutes of greeting and shaking hands time that we do, I want to apologize for making you feel uncomfortable. We don't want you to feel uncomfortable. But part of our name is Fellowship, Tiffany Fellowship Church. And so we just put 3 minutes in there as an opportunity for you to shake hands and greet somebody. But here's a tip. Here's a pro tip. If you're uncomfortable with the 3 minute time in there for greeting people, you should take that 3 minutes to go out and get a drink or go out and get a cup of coffee or just stretch your legs, come back in 3 minutes later, sit down and be great. I mean, right? Okay, so don't feel uncomfortable. I apologize. We're not going to stop doing it. We're going to do it. But we don't want you to feel uncomfortable. And we just want to be, why? Because we want to take an opportunity to greet you, and hopefully people are being friendly. If they're not, let me know, and we'll see what we can do about that. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 is our scripture text for today. Today we conclude the series, Thanksgiving. We have been talking at length about how to transition from Thanksgiving as a holiday to Thanksgiving as a lifestyle. Being thankful isn't just something that we should do. It's something that we are. It's something that we should be. See, I believe that for the child of God, every day is Thanksgiving Day. For the child of God, every day is Thanksgiving Day. Now, week one, we looked at the idea that grumbling and complaining drains us of our capacity for gratitude and gives us a negative mindset. We concluded that we shouldn't ignore the presence of pain in our lives, but rather resist the posture of protest, right? Week two, we looked at the fundamental differences between complaining and lamenting. The scripture talks a lot about lamenting. There's even one whole book of the Bible devoted to it and titled over to it. It's the book of Lamentations. And we looked at the fundamental difference between complaining and lamenting. Sinful complaining, we learned, is an accusation against God about our pain based in distrust, okay? Faithful lament, on the other hand, is an expression toward God about our pain based on trust in God. There's a difference there that's very important. Week three, last Sunday, we looked at the discipline of Thanksgiving, the discipline of Thanksgiving. We saw that we should approach Thanksgiving with a gymnastic training attitude. We should get comfortable with some discomfort. We should be so grateful as a discipline in our life that we're uncomfortable. We have some discomfort. Why? Because sometimes gratitude isn't easy. We should do hard things. God calls us to do hard things. You know, no pain, no gain. If we're going to gymnastically train in gratitude, we should exert some energy. Today I want to conclude the series by looking at some spiritual benefits of being continually thankful to God. Some spiritual benefits of being continually thankful to God. And we will start by looking at our text this morning, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We'll start by looking at our text, and it tells us a story in the life and the ministry of Jesus, and then we'll look at some other selected scriptures throughout the Bible. So stand with me if you would. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you today. In this church, the Word of God is our highest rule of faith and conduct. And so we don't stand for every text. We stand for the main text because it's our way of giving honor to the Word of God. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word. Can you say amen to it? Amen. Blessed to our hearing, God, may we be people who not just hear your word, but do what it says and obey your word. We thank you for it. Lamp for our feet, light for our path. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today's message is titled, "The Benefits of Thanksgiving." Now, I want to quickly give you 5 spiritual benefits from gratitude. We benefit from being grateful. And I think this is an appropriate way to conclude this 4-week series. And the first one of these ways that we can spiritually benefit from gratitude is found in our text, and the last 4 from selected passages in the Bible. So let's look at the first way that we benefit from gratitude in a spiritual sense. Number 1, gratefulness is observed and expected by God. Gratefulness is observed and expected by God. And I believe that's the lesson in our text. In the story that we just read about Jesus and the 10 leopards, we witness a couple of things that should get our attention. A couple of things in this story that should grab our attention. At first glance, this doesn't seem like a benefit. I'll admit that to you. It doesn't seem like a benefit. But as we meditate on this, you'll understand, I believe, that this is really a benefit. The fact that God observes and has an expectation of us to be grateful. Let me just say a couple of things about this. First of all, Jesus paid, we can note from reading this text, that Jesus paid particular attention or observation to the 9 lepers who didn't return thanks. He paid particular attention to the 9. We see this in verse 17. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Jesus' question resounds in this story. Where are the other 9? This is really important, and it really brings something to light, and we're going to kind of dive into this for just a little bit. But before we do, I just want to say this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Ingratitude is no small thing. God is paying attention. Right? Ingratitude is no small thing. God is paying attention. That's what we learn when we read this story. When it comes to prayers and answered prayer, I wonder how grateful are we? How grateful are we? Do we take God's protection and provision for granted? Do we take his healing for granted? How often do we return thanks? Or do we just move on to the next request? So let me ask you a question. Are you the 1 or are you the 9? Are you the 1 or are you the 9? This is really important. Lately, I've been praying about some physical issues that I've been struggling with. There is a, I won't get into details, but there's some I've been literally struggling with for decades in my physical body. And I prayed and I prayed, and like Paul, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I feel like God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so I keep praying because I know God can answer. Well, lately, I've discovered that for about 2 weeks now, I have not had this issue in my body. About 2 weeks. Something I've struggled with for decades, and suddenly it's gone. And for 2 weeks, I didn't even know about it. It didn't really even enter into, you know, you're going about your life, you're doing your business, you're managing your schedule the best you can, you're trying to keep, serve your wife, make your wife happy, trying to, you know, take care of the church business, and I just did not realize it. And I'm just going to say it this morning, I think God healed me. Let me just say, yeah. For like 25 years of my life, I've never gone 2 weeks without this issue. And now I have. And it's like I was thinking about this, and I'm like, oh no, like I'm one of the nine. You say, well, what if it comes back tomorrow? Don't. Still, I've enjoyed 2 weeks of none of the symptoms of this physical ailment. None of them. And I mean, I've been healed for 2 weeks, and I haven't given God thanks. I haven't given him glory. I haven't given him praise. Isn't that just, I'm one of the nine. Right? Second thing I want to say about this, very important. Not only does Jesus pay particular attention or observation to the nine lepers who didn't return thanks, but Jesus had a, and this is where the meat of this message is right here. Jesus had a higher expectation of the nine than he did the one. It's true. If you understand it, the context of this scripture, you would have to admit that Jesus had a higher expectation of the nine than he did the one. Look at verse 18. Has no one returned to give thanks to God except this foreigner? Now, give me just a couple of minutes to flesh this out for you. There's a lot of context here, and I just want to give it to you quickly. Jesus is using some hyperbole here, and he's using a kind of an idiom that Jewish people used at the time, because in truth, the Samaritan was not exactly a foreigner. The Samaritans were like half Jewish, half Babylonian. That's really what they were. Because in the history of Israel, when the Babylonians came in, when the Syrians came in and captured and drug away people in captivity, some of them stayed and they married Jewish women, and they had this race of people that the Jewish, because, right, the Torah talks about purity. You can't even mix like flax and, you know, linen in your material. It's all got to be one, you know. Everything has to be pure. And so this race of people that the Jewish people called foreigners were not really foreigners. They were sort of like, there's a pejorative term. I don't want to use it, but, you know, something breed, you know. They're like not really purebred. And so what Jesus is saying, listen, this when you get that in your mind, it's like, whoa, what is he saying? My daughters sometimes hold my feet to the fire. I used to be the one to say to my dad, hi, Dad, Dad's watching today. And I used to be the one to say to my dad, Dad, you can't talk like that. You can't use those words anymore. Now guess what my daughters are saying to me? Dad, no. And I'm like, what? You know, we're sitting in a staff meeting, and they're like, hey, you know. I'm like, what? Right? Kind of, Jesus is using a term that everyone used, this foreigner. Right? So what he's saying is, listen, this is so huge. The Samaritan is a stranger to the Jewish things of God. That's the context here. And he was the only one to return thanks, and that just got Jesus' attention, like, are you kidding me right now? Where are the Jewish lepers who supposed to know better than this? This guy, who's a stranger to the things of God, I would take you to the story of the woman at the well who was a Samaritan woman. And she, you Jews worship in Jerusalem. We worship here on Mount Gerizim, and ours, we worship different than you. Yeah, there were different traditions. And yet, Jesus looks at, says, this foreigner is the only one who came back. In other words, these Jewish lepers should have known better. Now, this is huge, friends. You know what it tells me? It tells me this. Often, the people of God who should be the most grateful are not. This is the lesson Jesus is teaching here. This is what's found in this language here. God is paying attention to our gratitude. He has an expectation that his people will get this right. That's the lesson that comes blazing through this. See, what happens is, answered prayer, sometimes we start to think that answered prayer is an entitlement. Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement brought us peace upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. So guess what? I'm entitled to this healing. And there's some people, pretty famous people, with a theology that says, listen, it's yours. All you have to do is just name it and claim it. It's yours. And so guess what we start to think? I'm entitled to this healing. I'm entitled to this answered prayer. Can I tell you something? Listen, entitlement is the enemy of gratitude. You're not going to be thankful for something you feel entitled to. God's expectation and observation is really a benefit and a curse, right? When you are grateful as child of God, as children of God, God sees and hears. And when you're not, God sees and hears. We get that? Do we get that? Gratitude is observed and expected by God. Children of God should know better. Number two, let's look at a different place. The second benefit, spiritual benefit to gratitude is number two, thankful prayer brings the peace of God. Thankful prayer brings the peace of God. I would take you to a very familiar passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So do you get it? Thankful prayer brings the peace of God with thanksgiving. Now, let me caution you here, because some people read this scripture wrong. Paul is not saying here, this is not thanking God in advance for answered prayer. That's not what he's saying. You know, God, I thank you in advance for the healing that you're going to bring my body in Jesus. That's not what Paul's talking about in this text. It's thanking God for past answered prayer. That's what he's talking about. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving for what God did for you in the past. Gratitude. See, thanking God in advance for answered prayer can be presumption. Right? Can be presumption. Maybe thank God for whatever he's going to do. Right? But be very careful about thanking God in advance for what you think he should do in his sovereign will. You with me? See. Gratitude to God purges the heart of anxiety and prepares it for peace. This is what Paul's saying. Gratitude to God pushes out the anxiety and prepares the heart for peace. So what Paul is really saying here is make a list of all that God has done in your life and remind God of what he has done every time you pray. Every time you pray, remind God in thanksgiving for what he's done. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this and doing this. We should make a list and check it twice since we're in the season for it. Okay? Gratitude to God purges the heart of anxiety and prepares it for peace. That's the second spiritual benefit of thanksgiving. Number three, a grateful heart brings joy to the soul. A grateful heart brings joy to the soul. Last week I gave you six scripture examples of how joy and thankfulness are intertwined. Let's just throw the text up on the screen. If you're in here, either jot this down, take a picture, because there are these six, and there's many, many more of them. But last week I showed you six scripture examples of how joy and thankfulness are intertwined. Jeremiah 30, 19, Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, Psalm 107, verse 22, Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, Isaiah 51, verse 3, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. These are passages of scripture where God shows us through his word how that a grateful heart and joy are intertwined. Today I want to give you one more. I'll give you a seventh. Today I want to give you one more, different one. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. This is Psalm of David. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Look what David says. Look what he says about a grateful heart bringing joy to the soul. He says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. Now listen, David is not saying here, I'm going to find a place in my heart of gratitude to you, God. Right? He's not saying that. He's saying, God, I'm going to give thanks to you with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. Okay? Say something about this before we move off. Here's what we're talking about. A heart filled with gratitude leaves no room for anything negative. David hits the nail right on the head. I'm gonna thank you. I'm gonna give thanks to you, God, with all my heart. When you put your whole heart into it, there's no room for anything else in the heart. Anything negative. A divided heart leaves room for resentment and depression. Listen to me. I speak as one who understands this from personal experience. A divided heart leaves room for resentment and depression. David confessed thanks from an undivided heart. It's all thanks. It's all thanks. It's all thanks, God. See, let me just say this. Joy is born in a grateful heart. Joy is conceived and born in a grateful heart. Now, I was studying this in the commentary, and I love the word that Willem Vangemeren, and I pronounced that right, Willem Vangemeren uses in the Expositor's Bible commentary, and he writes about the Psalms. And listen to how he puts it when studying this psalm. He says, and I quote, David exhorts himself to praise the Lord not only as a therapy to forget his troubles for a moment, but to deepen his trust in the Lord. I love that word, and I highlighted it. I underlined it in that text because I think it's great. I love that. I love that whole concept of gratitude as therapy. Being a person who is in therapy, I love this whole concept of gratitude as therapy. Gratitude therapy creates joy. This is what David is saying. Gratitude therapy creates joy. Therapy. It's therapeutic to your heart to give thanks. Number four, the fourth spiritual benefit for thanksgiving is that giving thanks and praise makes one a worshiper. Giving thanks and praise makes somebody, makes us, makes me, makes you. Giving thanks and giving praise makes us worshipers. I want to take you to a passage in Scripture that gives us a wonderful window. John the Revelator gives us a picture of heaven and what's going on there right now around the throne of God. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. Just look at this. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, here's what they said, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You want to know what worship is? It's giving praise and thanks. Thanks and praise to God and honor and glory and power. Yeah. Let me just say this. We're focusing on Thanksgiving. So let me just say this. Write this down if you're taking notes. In heaven, worship includes praise and thanks to God. In heaven. That's the picture we get from John the Revelator. So listen, can I just say we better get used to worship? We better get comfortable with worship. I'd like to take a poll, but I'm not going to. I don't know about you, but I plan to go to heaven. I don't plan to go to hell. I plan to go to heaven. So guess what? I better get used to worship. Because Scripture tells us that's what's going on there. And if you sit there and go, well, I don't like that at all. That's what's happening. That's what's happening in heaven. So let me just for a minute show you the difference between praise and thanks. Because there is a difference. There's a subtle difference between thanksgiving and praise. So let me just take a moment, just a brief moment, to tell you the difference. Okay? First of all, praise brings glory to God primarily for who He is. Okay? When we praise God, we're bringing glory to God primarily, and I say primarily because this is not hard and fast rules, but primarily for who He is. In other words, His identity for who He is. Look at Psalm chapter 33, verses 2 through 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. So the psalmist here is bringing praise to God and saying He is, His identity, He's faithful, He's true, His word is right, He's just. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. Okay? So praise is primarily bringing glory to God for who He is. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are wonderful. You are holy. You are righteous. You are powerful. You're Almighty God. See, we bring this praise to God. We bring the praise for who He is. Now, praise that involves who God is. When you praise God, there are some scriptures where people praise God for what He's done. Okay, primarily praise is praising for who He is. But on the occasion that psalmists and others are praising God for what He's done, okay, it is still primarily because of who He is. He does things out of His character, out of His identity. Okay, for instance, let me show you Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. Look at this one. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Okay? And proclaim that his name is exalted. Okay, so we're making known what he's done, but still we're making known what he's done that flows out of his character, his identity, who he is. He's done this. Why? Why has he done this? He's done this because his name is holy. He's done this because his name is exalted. Okay? So praise, get it? Primarily brings glory to God for who he is. It's his identity. Now, thanksgiving, on the other hand, thanksgiving, by way of contrast, brings glory to God primarily for what he's done. Praise brings glory to God primarily for who he is. Thanksgiving brings glory to God primarily for what he's done. In other words, his activity. This is what Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, when he says, give thanks in all circumstances. What God is doing in your circumstances, be they good or bad, up or down, sideways, whatever's going on in your life, whatever God is doing in your life, maybe he's going to strengthen you through suffering, maybe he's going to test you. Whatever God is doing in your life through your circumstances, give thanks to God. All right? So, now, before I move off this topic, let's look at Psalm 9 again and see the functional difference between praise and thanksgiving in one single passage. David brings it out beautifully here. We've already read this. Let's look at it again from this perspective. Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. Let's put up. Look what it says. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. What's he doing? Thanking God for his activity. Thanking God for what he's done. But then look what he says. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises of your name, O Most High. Who you are, O Most High. There's a subtle difference here. Primary difference, okay? So it's important to understand giving thanks and praise makes one a worshiper. And I would propose to you that we should get very, very comfortable with worship because heaven is full of it. And if you plan to go there, you better get good at it. One last quick point before we move off this. So, those who bring it, praise and thanks to God, are worshipers. In heaven, worship includes praise and thanks to God. So, those who bring it, the praise and thanks to God, are worshipers. That's what worshipers do. Hear me. Worshipers bring praise and thanks, honor, glory. We don't bring power to him, but we acknowledge his power. It's more praise. We bring these things to God. Thanks and praise. Worshipers. And number five, I'm going to ask the musician to come. We're going to close this message. Thankfulness. Let me end with an easy one. Thankfulness pleases God. The fifth benefit I want to talk about this morning, thankfulness pleases God. Now David, King David, in one of the most lamenting of all psalms, brings this out brilliantly. In Psalm chapter 69, verses 30 and 31. By the way, let me just say, go home and read. If you want to hear David at his finest lament, Psalm 69, it doesn't get. I mean, you're going to hear David is like drowning. It's really, really bad. He's lament. If you're a lamenter like I am, like I love to lament. I lament. Sometimes forgetting that God also healed me and not paying attention to the healing that God brought in the life, right? David's one of his finest laments, 69. But listen. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. See, he takes him all the way down to verse 31 to turn this thing around. If you're not a lamenter, then just skip right down to verse 30. I mean, it's bad. He's drowning. He's parched. He's dried up. His enemies are pounding him to dust. Oh, it's terrible. And then he turns this thing, he pivots this thing on a dime. And goes, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull. Look at this. Thanksgiving pleases God more than anything else. I mean, more than anything, God is pleased when we thank him. Pleases God. How many of you want to please God? I know I want to please God. You want to please God? Bring him thankfulness. Bring him thanks. Be generous with God in your gratefulness. Because thanksgiving pleases God. So those are the five benefits of thanksgiving that I touched on today. Let's review quickly. If you want to be observed by God, right? If you want God to pay attention to you, you want his attention, give him thanks. You want the peace of God? Be thankful in prayer. You need joy? Sick of being depressed? Feel your heart with gratitude. Do you want to be a worshiper? Bringing praise and thanksgiving to God makes you a worshiper. Do you want to please God? Thankfulness pleases God. These are five. I think this is a great way to conclude the series. If I would have thought about it, I would have had the band practice that song. I'll be watching you. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah. But we didn't do it, so just forget that. Don't get it in your head. We're not going to do it. We got 4 days left. We got 4 days left of our 25-day challenge. For the next 4 days, let's be worshipers by bringing praise and thanks to God, and let's please God with our gratitude. Let's do everything we can to please God. Will you stand with me and let's conclude the service? You need prayer? We want to pray with you today. You will lament. You want to trust God. You want to go to God with your pain. We're here to pray with you today. I'll have our prayer partners come. We're going to pray in a minute, and our worship team's going to sing a song, and if you have the time, let's bless the Lord, amen? Let's receive a blessing, a blessing, a blessing from God. And if you need prayer, come. Father God, we as your people want to be the one who returned to give thanks to Jesus for healing, not the nine who were ungrateful. We understand that you're paying attention to our gratitude, and we repent for our entitlement. We are sorry for the times we felt like we were owed our answer to our prayers. We know that a grateful heart brings the peace of God and joy. So help us, Holy Spirit, to bring you continual praise and thanks. May it be with us on earth as it is in heaven, around the throne, worshiping. Make us worshipers here and now, O God. Be pleased with our thanksgiving, we pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing his kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.